in order to convey to mankind such knowledge which gives them a clear and intelligible conviction of the working of God in his justice and love, I have written the work in the light of truth, which leaves no gap, contains the answer to every question, and clearly shows to mankind how wonderful are the ways in creation that are upheld by many servants of his will. But God alone is holy. Words of Abrushin, author of the Grail Message. Good evening and welcome to Truth of Life, a deep and incisive program based on the work In the Light of Truth, the Grail Message. The Grail Message is a new spiritual revelation of the truth given to mankind by the author Abrushin. It explains the will of God, which manifests as the adamantine and incorruptible laws of creation. This message does not bring a new religion and is intended as a torch to guide all serious seekers to the light and their longed-for height, which is paradise. It is addressed to earnest seekers only, for only such shall find. Dr. Tunde Agboola, a reading from the Grail Message is now brought to you. The author of the Grail Message says, and I quote, Modern psychic science, what gathers beneath this flag? What comes together there? And what also opposes each other beneath it? A playground for earnest seeking, little knowledge, great plans, vanity, and stupidity. In many cases also for empty boasting, and still more for the most unscrupulous commercialism. Out of this confusion, there frequently blossom envy and boundless hatred, which finally results in the basest kind of malicious vindictiveness. In such affairs, it is naturally not surprising if many people shun all these strange activities, fearing to poison themselves by coming into contact with them. They are not far wrong either, for countless adherents of psychic science are anything but engaging in their behavior, still less attractive. On the contrary, everything about them wants others to exercise the greatest caution. It is strange that the whole field of so-called psychic science, which is often confused by the malicious or ignorant with ghost science, is today still considered a sort of free territory where everyone may go on his own way and get up to his tricks unhindered, even unrestrained and unpunished. Such is it considered to be. But already, experiences are very often taught that it is not so. Countless pioneers in this field who were rash enough to venture a few steps forward in their investigations, equipped with only an imagined knowledge, have become helpless victims of their carelessness. The only sad thing about this is that all these victims fell without bringing even the slightest benefit to humanity thereby. Now, each of these cases should really have proved that the way followed is not the right one, because it brings only harm and even destruction, but no blessing. Yet, with singular persistence, these false ways are still retained, and fresh victims continually sacrificed. A great clamor is raised over every small detail that is discovered and newly recognized, although self-evident in the mighty creation. And innumerable treatises are written which must repel many serious seekers, because the uncertain grouping therein is clearly perceptible. All investigations until now can really rather be called dangerous pastimes based on good intentions. The field of psychic science, which is considered free territory, can never be entered upon with impunity, as long as one does not first know how to take into account the spiritual laws to their full extent. Every conscious or unconscious opposition to these laws, that is, non-observance of them, which is equivalent to a transgression, must, through its inevitable reciprocal action, strike the bold, frivolous, or careless person who does not or cannot pay close attention to them. Trying to explore the non-earthly with earthly means and possibilities is no different from placing and leaving an undeveloped child, as yet unfamiliar with earthly dangers, alone in a virgin forest, where only a man adequately equipped for it and at the height of his strength, exercising the greatest precaution, can have any prospect of surviving unharmed. For modern psychic scientists, with their present methods, it is no different, even if their intentions are absolutely serious, and if they are really taking great risks for the sole purpose of knowledge, to help men advance across a boundary before which they have long stood knocking and waiting. Today, these investigators still stand before it like children, helpless and groping, unaware of the dangers that may stream towards them at any moment, or pour forth through them onto others if their bungling efforts breach the natural defenses or open a door that for many had better remain closed. As long as those desiring to forge ahead are not absolutely certain that they will be able completely and instantly to master all dangers which may arise, not only for themselves but also for others, all this can only be termed rashness, not courage. Those investigators who engage in experiments act most irresponsibly of all. Attention has already been repeatedly called to the crime of hypnotism. Investigators experimenting in yet other ways, in most cases, make the regrettable mistake, knowing nothing themselves, for otherwise they will surely not do it, of putting other very sensitive or mediumistic persons into either a magnetic or even a sleep, in order to bring them nearer to the physically invisible influences of the other world, in the hope of thereby hearing and observing various things that would not be possible if the person experimented upon was in a fully day conscious condition. In at least 95 out of 100 cases, they thus expose such persons to great dangers which they are not yet qualified to meet. For every kind of artificial help towards deeper penetration is a binding of the soul, forcing it into a sensitiveness that goes further than its natural development would permit. Fourth is that such a victim of experiment suddenly stands as a soul in a region where it is robbed of its natural protections by the artificial help, or for which it does not have its natural protection, which can be formed only through personal sound inner development. One must picture such a pitiable person as if he stood naked with a stick and pushed far out into a dangerous country as a bait to attract and even let himself be affected by the as yet unknown life and activity there, so that he can report upon it, or so that various manifestations will also become visible to others through his cooperation by the giving off of certain earthly substances from his body. A person thus experimented with is able at times, through the connection his projected soul must maintain with his earthly body, to report as though as through a telephone all that happens and transmit it to the observer. However, should the outpost thus artificially pushed forward be in some way attacked, he cannot defend himself through lack of his natural protection. He is helplessly abandoned. Thus, with the aid of others, he has been only artificially pushed into a domain where, according to the state of his own development, he either does not yet or does not at all belong. And the so-called investigator, whose thirst for knowledge pushed him into it, can do just as little to help him, since he himself is strange and inexperienced in the place whence the danger comes, and therefore unable to do anything to provide protection. Thus it happens that the investigators unwittingly become criminals who cannot be apprehended by earthly justice. However, this does not prevent the spiritual laws from exercising their reciprocal action with full force and chaining the investigator to his victim. Many a person used for experiments has suffered ethereal attacks, which in due course, often also quickly or immediately, have a gross material physical effect as well, so that physical illness or death follows, but without eliminating the harm done to the soul. The observers who call themselves investigators, however, who push their victims into unknown regions, in most cases stand during such as experiments under good earthly cover through the protection of their body and their consciousness. It is seldom that they share simultaneously in the dangers confronting the persons experimented with, thus that such dangers are immediately communicated to them. But then, at their physical death, the transition into the ethereal world, because they are chained to their victims, they must inevitably go wherever these may have been drawn, so that together with them they may slowly begin to ascend once more. The artificial projection of a soul into another domain must not always be taken to mean that the soul leaves the body and floats away to another region. In most cases, it remains quietly in the body, but the magnetic or hypnotic sleep makes the soul unnaturally sensitive, so that it responds to much finer currents and influences than would be possible in its natural state. It is self-evident that in this unnatural condition, the full strength is not available, which the soul would otherwise possess if it had attained this point through its own inner development, and would therefore stand firmly and securely on this new and more refined soil, bringing an equal strength to bear on all influences. Because of this lack of sound full vigor, the artificiality produces an inequality which is bound to entail disturbances. As a result, all intuitions become absolutely blurred, giving rise to distortions of reality. The cause of the false reports and countless errors is again always given only by the investigators themselves through their harmful assistance. That is also why in the many investigated matters from the occult field already available, so much does not accord with strict logic. They contain countless errors which until now could not be yet recognized as such. Absolutely nothing that could be of the slightest use or blessing to mankind is gained by these obviously wrong methods. End of quote. Just listen to a reading from the Grail message. This is Truth of Life, a deep and incisive program based on the work In the Light of Truth, the Grail message. Copies of the Grail message can be obtained on Grail Land, Iju Hills, Lagos, Grail Centers, Grail Information Centers nationwide, and also at major bookshops. Now, we enter the interactive segment of this program. Genuine seekers who wish to interact with us, the telephone numbers to call are 0705-298-0298. Again, 0705-298-0298. Or 0805-944-1123. 0805-944-1123. And for your text messages, 0803-315-7493. 0803-315-7493 for your text messages. All right, let's make some announcement of Grace Centers where copies of the Grace message can be obtained. In Abba, the Grace Center is at kilometer 5, New Humahia Road, Umuoko Ogbo Hill, Abba. In Anambra, Onitsha. Temple Close, Owelebu Layout, Onitsha, Enugu Expressway. In Warri, 84, Hospital Road, Ekpan, Efurun, Warri, Delta State. In Benin, Great Acres, Ego, Benin City. In Enugu, Great Center is on Old Airport Road, opposite Ekochin Hospital. Emene. All right, we have Callistos calling from Okota. Hello, Callisto. Hello. You are on.
Hey.
Yes.
I want to ask a question. Is it true for a single man to take somebody's car?
Is it true that what?
I said, is it true that an evil man can take somebody's car? Is it true for somebody to take somebody's car?
Star, to take somebody's star.
Yes.
All right. It is absolutely not true. It is not possible for anybody to take your star. So don't believe those ignorant priests who tell you that somebody has taken your star, or your star is so good that people are after it. It is absolutely not true. Do you not know that in accordance with the perfect and just laws of our Creator, what you sow is what you reap. Every time you make it, you produce a thought or a word or an action. The form of the word or the thought, it will take on form. And the form, this your activity will take, will be the nature of the essence of that which you have done. And this particular form you have produced is attached to you. You are the author. So it is like a child that is flying a kite. The kite is the work. The string is one tied to the owner of the kite. So it is tied to you. Now that which you have produced will now move in the universe. It will be attracted by all that is similar. And when it is harvest time, it will surely come only to you. It will not go to another person. True. That is attached to the work. So when people say that somebody is taking your star, it is not true. They are only trying to deceive you. It is absolutely not true. It's not possible. All right, Mr. Dan Ladi is calling from Nasarawa State. Hello. Hello, Dan Ladi. Dan Ladi, are you there? Sorry. Let Mr. Dan Ladi call back. Now, while we are waiting for the call, we have some text messages here. Can marrying more than one wife prevent one from going to paradise? What will prevent one from going to paradise is if one does not obey or he does not follow the will of the Almighty Creator. But marrying more than one wife, true, it is true that it is genuine love exists between one man and one woman. But unfortunately, many have the wrong notion that Muhammad has allowed them to marry more than one wife. But Muhammad himself, he did not marry more than one wife at a time. His first wife, Khadija, died. Then he married another one. But at that time, he knew the evil habit of the Arabs. They will have a wife and they will keep an harem somewhere. And he wanted to curb this bad habit. He now said, okay, maximum you can have is four wives. But with one proviso, if you can have equal love for all of them, which is something that he knows is not possible. Which he knows that something is not possible. So, the true love exists between one man and one woman. And that is the one that can lead man to paradise. All right. Another caller is here. Mr. Emmanuel is calling from Nasarawa. Hello. Yeah, Emmanuel, you are on.
Who
hear you. We can hear you. Go on with your question. Your question is not clear. Are you talking about destiny?
Yes.
All right. You want to know what destiny is? Or whether somebody can take your destiny? All right. That's just the question we just answered. This false opinion is bandied around that somebody will take your destiny. It's not possible. So don't imagine that somebody will take your destiny. But usually people talk about somebody taking their destiny when it concerns good things. But when it concerns the bad, they want somebody to take the destiny. Whereas it is not possible. What you sow is what you reap. It is not possible for somebody to take your destiny. Okay, another text message is here. What is the difference between Jesus and Christ? Jesus is the Son of God. Christ means Messiah. It means the anointed. So it means Jesus, the anointed, Jesus, the Messiah, the one sent by God to bring word of truth. All right, Emeka is calling from Ijesha.
Hello, Master.
Yes, go on. Good evening.
I want to ask you a question. Is it true that there are some people that are destined to be rich, yet others who are destined to be poor? No matter how they live, they will be poor and large. Yet others who that, you know, that be great, no matter whatever.
All right. If you planted maize, you are destined to reap maize. It's a law. If you planted yam, you are destined to reap yam. So that is how it is. So if somebody has been doing good, then he is destined to reap good. If you have been doing evil, then you must reap evil. That is how it is. Unfortunately, many imagine that this only one art life that we have. This art life is the only one that we have. But we have had several art lives before us. And these several art lives, in each time we sow so many seeds, and when it is time, when we come to this new art life, we bring them with us. And when it's harvest time, we must reap them. Greg is calling from Benin. Okay. Somebody wants to know, how can I develop my subconscious mind and keep away from earthly vices? Now, what you need to develop is not the subconscious mind, but to learn to recognize the inner voice, which is the voice of the spirit within. All right, Emeka is calling. No, sorry. Dan Ladi is back from Nasarawa State. Hello, Dan Ladi.
Yes, sir. I can hear you.
Yes, go on.
Yes, my question is, how one get out of fornicating life when you consciously deliberate, make an effort to get out of it, but you see yourself doing it in line with the verse that says, even when I hate doing evil, I
see
myself doing evil. How will one get out of it?
All right. Now, the first step here is to keep the heart of our thoughts pure. The author of the Great Message admonishes, say, keep the heart of your thoughts pure. By so doing, you bring peace and be happy. Indeed, it is the first step. That step where we have to struggle. We have to use all the means that our all the powers we have to ensure that we always produce that thought which is pure. And the beginning of that is to have within our heart, to set in our heart to do what is good. All right. Udoka is calling from Satellite Town.
Yes. Yes. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Please, I have a question to ask.
Go on.
Please, I want to know if ancestral worship, is the real worship to God. That's my number one question. Two, again. I want to know this issue of immortality of soul. You know, based on the Buddha, they say that woman existence is the combination of the physical body and the force. And again, now what they call death is the total non-function of the physical force, which is body. Now they say that do the physical body, physical force stop all together immediately the death of the person? They say no, that physical the force continue to exist. Time and evolution to exist.
All right.
Using what is called a bite.
Okay, listen.
Until the individual achieve what is called nirvana. Now I want to know if that nirvana is before heaven or after heaven.
All right, let me try and explain to you. Now, your first question, ancestral worship. We have been told in the first commandment, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have none other gods but me. So how can you then talk about ancestral worship as the real worship? The first commandment says that you should worship the Almighty and none other. So that answers your first question. As to your second question, you know, there is this wrong conception about the teachings of Buddha. Buddha was also a forerunner to the world of truth. And what he taught has again also been misunderstood by his followers. Nirvana is supposed to be the dissolution of the soul at the height of the journey of the soul. But if the soul is dissolved, what is its gain? It is not possible for the soul to gain by its dissolution. The whole essence of earthly existence, or even our existence, is to develop our spiritual core, which we started as a spirit seed. And the experience we gain on earth is what will help us to develop this spirit. And it is only when the spirit has reached state of maturity that you will be able to enter paradise. So try and understand this in simple terms. The physical body is only a cloak, but it is not the only cloak enveloping the spirit. There are many cloaks enveloping the spirit. When a man dies, he only shares the physical body. The other cloaks are still there enveloping the spirit, and he will be living in the beyond with those cloaks that is appropriate for those regions where he finds himself in the beyond. And he will be experiencing, eventually, if he reaches the state of spiritual maturity, he will enter paradise. It's simple. So don't get confused. Mr. Terry is calling from Abuja.
Hello, sir.
Yes, you are on, Terry.
I wanted to find out the traditional religion, if one practices the African traditional religion, does it have a negative effect on
children? All right. You know, in the development of a people, the way towards the recognition of the Almighty Creator starts first of all with the recognition of the elemental forces of nature. That is how people start their development in the recognition of that which is non-earthly. First of all, you start with demon worship, because the soul at that level of maturity can only see with his inner eyes the forms of the fear it entertains in the world around it. But everything takes some form. So when he sees these forms that are different from his own nature, he considers them to be God and starts to worship them. That is why we first find demon worship amongst people. But as the soul continues to develop, you now see more and more friendly entities. Starts to recognize the elemental forces that are in charge of water, the mermaids, or in charge of the forest, or okay, well, while we are, Mr. Michael is calling from Mavza Maza.
Hello.
Yes, yeah, good evening.
I want to ask a question, sir.
Okay.
The question I want to ask first is this. Number one is that if somebody's father, you understand, addicted to debt, borrowing, to train the children, going to feed them, and everything like that. Then after the night, then the son inherited that debt. Will prayer stop it?
Will prayer stop what?
Will the prayer stop that debt from the son?
How can the prayer stop it when the man has a record of debt and the son must pay? How is prayer going?
Another one is said that we should obey in our inner voice. Now, some voice comes from someone's house. A lot of voices. How would you define the one that is good? So I want to know this thing.
All right, now to your first question, I've answered that. If a father has inherited debt and he dies, of course, his relatives or his sons, they have the obligation to pay if the creditor does not want to forgive that debt. So you can't say prayer, But if the creditor say, okay, I forgive, then that is it. That is that. Then to your second question, inner voice. We must learn to recognize the inner voice. Now, how to recognize the inner voice is this. The first impression that we have about any situation or a person or a thing is always the right one. So learn to recognize that and follow that one. That is the inner voice. That is a hint to that. There are also other ways to know, but that is the first step you can start with. Mr. Babat today is calling from Lawansin.
Hello, Chairman.
Yes.
Hello.
Yeah, you are on.
I want to ask you a question.
Go on.
Hello.
Go on.
Can somebody kill somebody if that spirit of that person does not allow the person to kill him? Can somebody kill somebody if that person, the spirit of that person does not allow him to kill her or him?
If somebody can kill another person, yes, but he has committed a sin before the Almighty Creator. He may be in a position to injure and kill. He can do it, but he has committed a grave sin. At the moment of that crime, he and the one he has murdered are already linked through a thread. And that thread is not broken until he pays back. Whether here or in the beyond, their path must cross again. So that's that. Now let me go back to Mr. Terry's question concerning traditional religion. So I was saying that the way of development towards the recognition of the Almighty starts with from demon worship, where because that's what the souls can see, to worshipping of entities which is now called gods, the god of iron or god of forest or god of water and so on. Then after that, you also learn to recognize higher entities like the Lord of the Elementals. And from there, they learn to recognize higher spiritual entities. So that is how, in a step-like fashion, the human spirit on earth learns to recognize eventually the Almighty Creator. But in many cases, the people will come to the recognition of maybe the elemental beings. And then there they get stuck. But unfortunately, the ones who, the clairvoyant amongst them, who recognize these elemental beings and who are striving to follow the directions and teachings of those ones, their successors, who do not have clairvoyant abilities, only imitated what their predecessors did and then had their own follies also, but they didn't understand what they were doing. And besides, sometimes the moment you start worshipping these elemental beings, they move away because they too are servants of the Almighty, to be replaced by the forms of thoughts, forms of demons that people have. It is demons that demand blood sacrifice. And so that is the difference. But the elemental beings, hello, they do not be demand. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you are on.
This is Jacob from Kaduna.
All right, Jacob from Kaduna. Go on.
Yeah, I said, is it true that Muhammad is mentioned in the Bible?
All right, Muhammad cannot be mentioned in the Bible because, you know, Muhammad came 600 years after the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And by that time, the Bible was already written. But Muhammad was permitted to teach the people of Arabia, to remind them. By the time Muhammad came on the scene, there was still the Jewish religion and the Christianity religion. But these two were already even distorted by that time. Muhammad was permitted to tell the people more about who Jesus Christ is, and to tell them about the coming of the promised comforter. To your question, you see, the recorders of the scriptures had already recorded their scriptures. But if you are to go deep into the scriptures, you will also find Muhammad in the scriptures, because he was also there when Jesus Christ was there. Mr. Gineka is calling from Port Harcourt.
Yes.
Go on.
Sir.
Good evening.
Yes, I have a question.
Go on.
And the question is that you said sometime that during this program that it is not possible for someone to deny the other's star, yes, which I believe.
Yeah.
Hello?
We are on. I'm listening.
Yeah. Don't you think that the higher people of the higher realm can now foresee their star and then go to another and use another higher power, forcing power or any other power to delay or stop your star from manifesting while delaying your star for a very long time, that you cannot be able to manifest or operate within the level that God has ordained you, and it is thereby delayed, and then the star will be denied that the person will become could not be able to manifest
and
start for a very long time.
Don't
you think so?
All right, let me try and explain to you. You see, it is not possible for somebody to steal your star or to overshadow your star. Man himself is his own worst enemy. Man is his own worst enemy. Let me explain how it works. Somebody has done good, and in accordance with the law, what you sow is what you reap. So the good he did is already floating, the consequences, I mean the harvest, is already due. But as of this moment, when he's supposed to receive the good, he is doing evil now. The evil he's doing now will be a check against the good he's supposed to receive. He is the one delaying his own reception of that which he's supposed to receive. It is man who is causing his own. No higher power can do it. It's mine himself who is doing it for himself. Mr. Charles is calling from Abuja. Hello, Mr. Charles.
Yes. Hello?
Yeah, go on, Mr. Charles.
Okay, okay. I want to know the difference between one. You have to explain. Jesus on one side.
Between what and what?
Festival on the other side. Then Emmanuel.
Okay. Between Jesus, Parsifal, and Emmanuel. All right.
The Holy Spirit, I mean, if they are different serious persons, their
okay.
Effect.
All right.
I mean, who they are, if they are one person, different, and just differentiate them.
All right. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the love of the Almighty Creator. He is the inborn Son of God. Whereas Emmanuel is the will of God. He is the power of God. He is also the justice of the Almighty Creator. He is the lawgiver. Emmanuel is actually identical with the Holy Spirit. And so, we have Jesus Christ as the inborn Son, representing the love of the Almighty, on the right-hand side of the Almighty, and Emmanuel as the justice, as the outborn Son, on the left-hand side of the Almighty. So that is how we can understand the Holy Trinity. God the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, Emmanuel. Emmanuel is the also Son of Man. It means that Son of God through whom man came into existence. That is the meaning of that word, Son of Man. And Emmanuel actually was the one who carried that fiat, that word of the creative word, let there be light, in him. With that fiat, he stepped out of the divine plane of radiation. He faced the void. And through his radiation, the entire creation came into existence. And that is why Emmanuel is also called the Alpha, that is the first to be in creation. And Omega, it will also be the last, should creation fall into ruin. That is why it's called the Alpha and Omega. So you will see that Jesus Christ is different from Emmanuel. And you can even get a hint of this when you read the Revelation chapter 1 verse 4, when it is stated there that greetings from him who is, who was, and who is coming, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ. From there you see that Jesus Christ is different from he who is, who was, and who is coming. So Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is the Word of God, is the love of God. Emmanuel is the will of God, is the power of God. Now, when Emmanuel was to go about bringing creation into existence, he stood in the divine kingdom. He never crossed the boundary. But a part out of him crossed, and that part is Parsifal, who is now the king of the Holy Grail. When you read the Great Message, you understand these things, concepts very well. All right. Joel is calling from Ifo. Hello, Joel. All right. Joel should try and call back. Okay, let's take more text messages. Is it true that eternity is to be spent here on earth rather than in heaven? No, the earth and the world of matter in general is a transient world. That is to say, it does not last forever. It came into existence and it followed the law of development, which law says that it starts as a seed, it grows, it matures, it reaches, produce fruits, it becomes overripe, and it decays. Back to the seed so that it can start yet another cycle. So this is what you see in the world of matter. The earth and all the material globes, the stars and the moon, they follow this law. But because each particular celestial globe, after completing this cycle of the evolution and dissolution, it starts yet another cycle. That's why they said world without end. But in the spiritual is eternal. Any spirit that finally finds its way there, after leaving this material world, we now live out the crown of eternal life. So that is how that is. Okay, let's take another call from Emeka in Ijesha. Hello, Emeka.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
I want to know, hello.
Yes, we are on. We are listening.
Papa?
What?
This thing that happened in the world, this gay marriage and the spiritual and all this immorality of things. I want to know, who is the ruler of this? Is it Jesus or the Satan that is the ruler of this world?
All right. You know, the various things that we are experiencing in the world today, homosexuality, lesbianism, debauchery in various forms, wars and so on, there are things that must come. The reason why they must come is because of that prophecy that says that all that is dead shall be awakened so that it may pass judgment upon itself. All that is dead in this case means all that is long slumbering in every human being, whether good or evil, through the increased pressure of the power that has been permitted by the Almighty to flow into this part of creation, everything within every human being will become to life. It must show its activity. In other words, everybody must show its true color, so that it can then receive the blow of judgment it deserves. Either to be separated, the human beings, humanity is already separated. Those who are the sheep are separated from those who are the goats. Those who have the opportunity to have a further existence and those who are already going to perdition. So do not worry. Everybody must show his true color. That is why we are seeing all we are seeing. Joel is back from Ifo. Hello, Joel.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
I have a question.
Make it only one.
Hello?
Make only one question, please.
My question is, what does eating in the dream signify in man's life?
What?
Eating
in the dream. Well, all right. I do not interpret dreams. But one thing you must know about dreams is that there are two types of dreams. There is a false dream and there is a genuine dream. In genuine dreams, there is absolutely no word of exchange. Words and sentences do not appear in genuine dreams, even though the participants in the dream communicate. But when there is words and sentences, that is a false dream. The dream brain is the back brain. But the intellect, the frontal brain, produces words and sentences. And that is the one that's supposed to be addressed when we are sleeping. All right, we come to the end of today's transmission. Now, for genuine seekers who may still wish to interact with us after this program, the telephone numbers to call are 0705-298-0298 or 0803-315-7499 3. With my words, I lead to God and also to Jesus. However, in a more vital way than has been known in the past, and not as people have trimmed it through their propensity for spiritual comfort. Words of Abrushin, author of the Grail Message. And so, until we meet next Sunday, I am Dr. Tunde Agboola, wishing you a good evening.